Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on a Thursday on KFH. Thursday is always fun as we get you ready for the football weekend. We do it getting ready for some college football, getting ready for some NFL. Our betting insider PJ Glasser stops by to help us with that side of things. We've also got Tim Fitzgerald, PowerCat.com, coming in the next hour to discuss little K-State hoops, little K-State football. Looking forward to that as well. Of course, your calls and comments, always a part of the show. You can give us a shout. Max Power Producing has that hotline at 869-1240. You've got comments available to us on our video streams. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected and listening to us on the Odyssey app. Everything we have for you today is on tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Bring the whole family and your out-of-town visitors to WBC for a taste of pizza and beer made here east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I can hardly wait for some Thursday night basketball at 9 p.m. tonight to watch the Cats versus Quincy Ballard back in the state of Kansas. I guess I said against Kansas City, the region. We'll say that that game is going to start so late, and I know it's going to. Wichita State had that slot last year, and I don't think that they started until 9. I don't think the game got over until after 11 p.m. So we'll see what time we get this thing rolling tonight.
Oh man. I forgot about Ballard going there. That'll be interesting. It's been another good test for K-State. We'll get Fitz's thoughts on it. But, you know, after we see them, I don't want to say play down to Tulsa yet because I really don't know anything about Tulsa. Mississippi State is a top 50 team, and it'll be a fun challenge for them. You know, if, you know, Jans is there and they do all that stuff, they're probably going to be a good defensive team, if I had to guess. And it should be a good barometer for where K-State sits right now in the basketball season. We've got that tonight. We got a little Thursday night football. I think a game people can get pretty excited about, be pretty interested in, as you've got two pretty good teams here. Bills-Texans. Texans, one of the best defensive teams in football, hosting Buffalo, who is hit or miss. You never know with your what you're going to get with Buffalo, especially on the road. So I think that's a pretty interesting game tonight as well. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you want the Texans to lose. At this point, I think you go for Buffalo, don't you? You're two games and a tiebreaker behind Buffalo for a wild card spot if they don't catch New England. And you got the same record as Houston, although you play Houston. So maybe you don't care and you want the Bills to lose a bunch of games. But it's a game of interest either way if you're the Chiefs. Just get ready for this. This is what we get to do the rest of the year, right? Like, okay, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're on the outside of the playoffs looking in. What do we want to happen tonight? You think you can run down the Bills, or do you want the Texans to go ahead and get a loss? Like, this is what we get to do now.
I know. That's an interesting conundrum, because aren't the Bills the sixth seed? The Bills aren't quite the world beaters either. So that's probably like the six and the seven.
Yeah, they're down there. The problem with the Bills is if they are a wild card at 7-3, they're a wild card with a tiebreaker. So they're three games ahead of you with seven games to play. You really think the Bills are going to lose three games? And if so, do you think the Chiefs are going to win every game they play the rest of the way?
I know. It might not even matter. Like, that's
where we are with this. This is what it feels like to be a normal NFL fan, right? You don't just for a decade get to count on winning the division. This is the normal flow of things for most fan bases. Like, you get into this part of the year and you're trying to figure out how you can just try to squeeze into the postseason. It has been a very fortunate run for Chiefs fans, and this isn't going to be one of those fortunate years. They're going to have to scratch and claw their way in if they're going to get into the postseason, which they still absolutely can. And in fact, we talk about the odds because it's the odds better than 50% chance to do it. But it's tight. It's real tight. I think you just want Houston to lose. I don't think they're catching Buffalo.
Yeah. So speaking of odds, I haven't brought this up on the show yet. After we talked on Monday, I went and looked because the Chiefs were still the third best odds to win the Super Bowl. I think they still are there. The third best odds to win the Super Bowl. And I saw that and I was like, man, like I should take some juice on the Chiefs and not make the playoffs, because those odds must be like kind of juicy if they think that they're going to still win the Super Bowl. It's like 50-50 to make the playoffs, and they're the third highest odds to win the Super Bowl. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think, and we can ask PJ Glasser about this. I think you were right earlier this week. I think you said this. Like, it's because they don't, like, you don't want a bunch of money coming in on the Chiefs.
Yeah, they don't want to put the Chiefs on sale.
Because if they do make it, it's the Chiefs, right? And I think you're not going to get any discounts with the Chiefs. Like, it's not going to happen. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, because if they get there, like we all know it. We all know it. This weekend, here we go again. This is supposed to be the best team in the AFC coming in, and Kansas City's a 3.5-point favorite. Why? Because they're not going to make the Chiefs a home underdog. Because it's still the Chiefs. Because history forever has shown us this team with its back against the wall, or this team when it feels slighted, is typically very good. Now, they weren't most recently. All those things were true against Denver. They just happen to be at home this week, and their home road splits this year are pretty significant. They have not been good away from Arrowhead at all this year, and they've been very good at Arrowhead. So, yeah. That's a tricky game to get a gauge of, because I like personally, I think Indianapolis is better than Denver.
Yeah, I do too.
And just to, you know, and so, but it's a home game, and what do you do with that, right? Like, how do you even handle that? Indianapolis, by all the things, we'll talk about this on the other side, by all the things that typically tell us who are really good teams, Indianapolis does a lot of that stuff. Well, they do have one thing that they don't do well, which we'll talk about in just a minute, but they've gone to try to address that thing at the trade deadline. So, but you know, they have been a wagon offensively. They're the best offense in football. They're balanced. Like, they do everything. They can do everything. And they had one little flaw in their team. And we'll see if they fixed it, but they sure tried. They swung for the fences on it. If you believe in Daniel Jones even a little bit, this looks like it could be the best team in football so far this year. So that's what looms now in a bunch of must-win games for the Chiefs. We didn't look at this schedule before the beginning of the year and think, oh, man, the Colts, that's going to be tough. But that's the reality that the Chiefs face now.
It's a huge game. I mean, it's probably, if they're not the best team in football, they're probably top three. They're in that category that you want to list all those teams off. I got something we can talk about on the other side of the break here. I don't know if you saw this yesterday on the New Heights podcast, the Kelce Brothers. Jason asked Travis if this year's Chiefs team played last year's Chiefs team, what did he think would happen? And he said this year's Chiefs team would win.
I love last year's team. I think about that
16-1 or 15-1.
I think about it all the time. I don't disagree. We can discuss that. Josh Simmons makes his return. He talks to the media. We can discuss all of that, plus begin to preview the Colts. Here, that'll be where we spend our time on the other side of the break. Sports Talk on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. Now streaming Paramount Plus, there's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton's back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman, new season. Streaming right now on Paramount Plus. We're coming right back. We've got some Chiefs talk for you here on Sports Daily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, what time up the Odyssey holiday hookup now through Friday, November 21st at 11:30. Odyssey taking care of the food and fun this Thanksgiving. Win a full holiday feast and Thunder tickets for the whole family. Smoked turkey, ham, all the sides from Hogwild Pit Barbecue, $200 in value, and 10 tickets to Wichita Thunder Star Wars Night on November 29th. You can enter by texting thanks to the number 20357. Message and data rate supply. Good luck there, everybody. We come back in. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here on Sports Daily. All right, we're talking Chiefs. There's a lot to get to as they return to practice. We get some news, some injury information. Josh Simmons is back. A couple other storylines coming in. I suppose, TJ, we start with Josh Simmons being back. Did not feel the desire to share details on why he was gone, handled it, I thought, very respectfully, and thanked fans and the team for their patience with him being away. Said he felt like it, you know, it made him feel good to have that support. I think, you know, I think the team handled this just fine. I think they handled it well. In fact, I think as fans, rightfully wanted more information as it pertained to like how it's going to affect the football. But I also think fans did a nice job of being supportive. I didn't ever feel like it got over the line or anything with Simmons and his time away. I think it's unreasonable to think fans aren't going to think about football when you're talking about this stuff. So I thought everything was good. I thought he handled it well yesterday. And I'm sure glad he's back because they got to have him.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I think that, you know, media-wise, I think on this show, I think the fans, the biggest thing during his absence wasn't, well, what is he doing? Like, what is he doing? No. It was always, when is he coming back? Like, that was the question that nobody knew. And I think that that was what has led to all the speculation around this. I think that people probably want to know what it was just for gossip purposes, but that's nobody's business to know. But knowing when your left tackle is going to come back, that is actually probably fans' business a little bit to understand who is going to be playing on the Sunday. That's the biggest thing. That's the reason the injury reports are a thing in the NFL. And so I think that that's where all of that stemmed from. But I mean, if he doesn't want to say what it is, you know, he doesn't have to say what it is. And I think that that's fine. You move on from it. And, you know, he answered a lot of questions and it was really transparent yesterday about what the process was like for him. He said that he had his playbook and he was studying plays as they implemented them while he was out there, and he worked out at a gym and went out to a field and tried to stay in shape as best as he could while he was out there. And so it's an interesting situation. I've never heard of it happening before, but I mean, it sounds like if it's going to happen, this is the way that it should happen.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything appears to be fine and everybody can move on, and that's great. You hope it's not something that recurs, whatever it is. So he's back. He looked pretty good, I thought, against Denver. Denver's pass rush, like they give everyone fits, you know, gave the Chiefs a few fits. But honestly, I have a hard time really digesting the Denver game because I, like, personally for me, I can't get over the missed opportunities for Kansas City, right? So they had too many penalties. Like, there were a lot of the things in that game that were similar to the Jacksonville game. Too many penalties, too many mistakes. But I do think the Chiefs had the right plan. They missed on at least two touchdowns because they missed throws. They had several drops, which we hadn't really seen this year. So what's hard for me to like move forward with is how good is the Chiefs offense? You know, they played that defense. They didn't look great in that game, but they probably should have looked great in that game, right? They make a few plays that are there to make. It's not like they didn't have opportunities to make plays. They just didn't make them. The opportunities were there that they had been making plays on. And if that happens, you know, we're talking about, even if they score one of those touchdowns, they're close to 30 points, right? Like, so I think the problem for the Chiefs is everything that happened much earlier in the season, right? The Jacksonville game is annoying. The Denver game is annoying. Those aren't the games that are like the injuries and things have just given them little room for error. And so now they can't make those mistakes or they're screwed. Plus they play a bunch of really good teams still here down the stretch. So I think their offense probably is still fine. And I and to your point that you brought up before, the new heights, you said Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce, if this year's team played last year's team, Travis Kelce said this year's team would win. Man, I totally agree with that. And I think about that all the time. I'm like, well, the difference in the NFL, the margins that are so razor thin. You have last year's team where we got to this point in the year, and it's like, man, I know they only have one loss, but that offensive line's garbage and it's going to bite them. And now you're like, they seem to have fixed that. The defense still looks good and they have five losses. But I agree. I think this year's team would definitely beat last year's team. I think it's a better team.
Yeah. I'm trying to find. I want to find a way to compare the stats through 10 games last year to 10 games this year. Because, like, it's interesting because, like, the offensive numbers, like, aren't as good, but you feel like the offense is better, I think. I don't really understand. I don't know. Like, it's kind of like apples to oranges a little bit. Like, it's tough to compare them, even though majority of them are the same players and there wasn't that much of a changeover, except for an offensive line switch and getting Rashee Rice. And so
I think there's a lot more to this offense. I do.
I think there is too, but I don't know if the stats say that. That's what I'm saying.
Last year they scored for the year, I know, 22 that's points hard, a game. I can't take it through 10 weeks, but this year they're 3 points higher. So here, I've got these for you here. We'll just look at it. I haven't looked at these yet. So this year they're scoring 3 points more per game and they're giving up 1 point less per game. And they have five losses instead of zero at this point. Did they have one by this point? We'll just say they did. I don't remember what week the Buffalo game came. They've scored 30 touchdowns this year so far. Last year they scored 42 all year. So they're probably right around that pace. They'd given up that last year that, you know, they gave up 41 sacks. This year they've given up 20. So they're well below that pace, right? Like it's a much better pace for them. They've been a better team this year. I mean, they have, you know, on paper, and I think to our eyes, and I do think, look, I know they ran it back, but getting a better offensive line and running it back, you know, plus Rashee Rice is really good. That's a big deal. Like those are huge additions to the team.
I agree. I mean, it changes the team in a little bit. It's just weird that, like, that it feels that it's such apples to oranges, and it's like the backwards inverse of results that you'd get out of this team. Like I agree. Like, I think that we talked a lot last year. I think that NFL people talked a lot last year about, if you replayed the season, the chances the Chiefs would go 15-1 is, you know, 1% maybe. Like, there was a lot of chips that fell that way. There was a lot of games they went out and won, but there was a lot of chips that fell that way. And the Chiefs kind of scooted out of some situations. Like, you think about the Raiders game last year on Christmas. Was it Christmas? I don't know. It was one of those games down the stretch that the Raiders center snapped the ball and then they dropped it and game over just like that. Or a blocked field goal against the Broncos and things of that nature that made it fall the way that it did. And so I agree with them. I think that this year's team is better than last year's team, but at some point, like, why is it the way that it is? Is everybody else better? Like, what has happened?
I don't know what's happened other than I think this is a great exercise and example of how difficult it is in the NFL to win games and how razor thin the margins are between victory and defeat. It's one of the things that amazes me that we went from a Patriots dynasty almost seamlessly into a Chiefs dynasty. I wasn't sure we'd ever see one again when we were coming down to the end of the Patriots, because the league has gotten so tight. Like, the difference, you know, the difference between the very top and the very bottom might be large each year, but that's usually only one, two, three, or four teams. Right. It's like everybody else is just somewhere crammed into the middle and you just get through. That's what is made, like, to me, that what the Chiefs have done. It's just like, man, I legitimately can't believe they've been able to put this together. I didn't think we'd see it again after the Patriots, and we immediately started to see it again. But you look at this kind of stuff, a team that I do think is better this year has already has 5 losses. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the way it is. And there's so much nuance in it too, right? The Chiefs had a bunch of injuries early in the year. It cost them a few games. They were dealing with the suspension of a player, all of those things. And that's why when we get to a Colts game this weekend, I'm compelled to just lean into the fact that the Chiefs are at home and they've been, you know, they've made mistakes in a couple of these losses, but, you know, they've also in a couple of games against really good teams kind of dominated them. So they're at home. I'll probably pick the Chiefs again this weekend, even though I don't want to.
That becomes a question that I think that we ask and everybody asks. And that's what Travis Kelce answered yesterday, is that, like, when can you quit them? Like,
well, that's you can't. Until they're eliminated, you can't quit them. Can the Chiefs go through and win every game the rest of the way? Well, sure they can. A team that wasn't as good last year won all but one of their games.
Like, that's what I'm asking, is the fact of, like, what is, I mean, I don't want to say realistic, but, like, what's obtainable? Like, can the Chiefs win every single game? Like,
well, sure they can. Right? I think I keep saying 6-1 because that allows a little. I think 5-2 is probably the most likely outcome, and it might be enough to get them in. Might not be. 6-1 is what you've got to shoot for, and know that 7-0 is on the table. But so is 4-3 or 3-4.
I know. Like, it's. I mean, I know why. I mean, we were calling the Chiefs the best team in football a month ago, and it's like
we're calling the Chiefs the best team in football 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, like
before the Broncos game.
It feels just so wild for the state that they're in right now and the losses that they've had to, like, have confidence rooted in what to get them to that point. And I mean, the confidence is rooted in the fact that at one point
it's rooted in almost a decade now of a dynasty. That's what it's rooted in. It's rooted in 3 Super Bowls for Mahomes. It's rooted in Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Andy Reid all being Hall of Famers. It's in Chris Jones being, like, it's rooted in all the same things it's always been rooted in. They're just older and they don't have any room for error anymore because they made errors in 2 games that they shouldn't have lost, in Denver and Jacksonville. Jacksonville more than Denver, but look, they had opportunities that they flat blew in the Denver game. There's no doubt about it. Like, no question. And, you know, in that game in particular, I personally think Mahomes has to play better. He can't miss throws like that. And they also can't drop passes like that. They just, like, the passing game really let them down in general on Sunday, this past Sunday, because the line blocked it up pretty good against the best pass rush in football. I don't think you can ask for more than that from the line than what you got. Too many penalties. But Mahomes had time to make good throws. He just didn't make them. And when he did, they dropped them. And so that, you know, go back to the drawing board. That doesn't happen all that often. Indianapolis says a team offensively, they're a wagon. They're one of, if not the best, rushing offense in football. They're one of, if not the best, passing offenses in football this year. They're technically speaking ranked 3rd in both categories and the number 1 overall offense by yardage this year. Daniel Jones has a ton of weapons to throw it to. They've got a great tight end, which is a problem for the Chiefs. And you'd better stop Jonathan Taylor. Good luck, right? Defensively, you're not going to run it on them, which is fine. Who cares if you're, you know, if you're a Chiefs fan? They've been very susceptible to the pass. Most of the numbers, though, this year are pre Sauce Gardner, who is one of the top 2 or 3 corners in the league, who they went and traded for. And you want to talk about pushing all your chips into the middle of the table? 2 firsts for a corner? That's what they did. And they've had a bye week now after a game to get him prepared. This is going to be a challenge.
It's such an interesting experiment because, like, that first, realistically, was probably who they were going to draft a quarterback with next year because of the Anthony Richardson situation of everybody thinking that it's just finally not going to work. And you know, they brought in Daniel Jones to be his backup, like maybe serve as the 1-year rental and be the Sam Darnold, whatever example you want to throw out there. And then now it's turned into this. And then now they're like, screw drafting a quarterback. We got our guy. And it's like,
that was a vote of confidence. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. That's the real question of, like, rooted in what confidence before this year, like, and I'm, I ride the hot hand as well. Like, I'm with them. And I think that a lot of teams mishandle this situation like the Vikings did. I think a lot of teams mishandle the situation of running quarterbacks out of town thinking that the grass is greener for a young guy coming in or something like that. And so I think that kudos to them for building around Daniel Jones, and kudos to them for, you know, not letting history tell them what to do with their quarterback.
Well, there's a history of this now in the NFL between Darnold and Mayfield and now Daniel Jones. And I think Kyler Murray is going to get an opportunity to do this. I've heard people talk about this that way with Bryce Young. Is he going to get to do this because he shows us signs? But the reality is Shane Steichen is good at what he does. He helped the Eagles to a Super Bowl, right? He comes through. And look at what Steichen was able to do with a guy like Jalen Hurts, I think is not all that different than what he's able to do with a guy like Daniel Jones. Like, it's a quarterback that's talented, that's very cerebral, just like Jalen Hurts was. And you got a good coach that can get the most out of him, and then it works. That's what Kevin O'Connell did with Sam Darnold. Like, it's not, it's an interesting era, I think, in the NFL, and we'll see if it translates to Super Bowls, depending on what you think of Jalen Hurts and his chances to, like, ultimately get to the Hall of Fame. That it used to, like, there you had no chance, basically, without a Hall of Fame quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And I feel like that's changing just a little bit. I'm not exactly sure why yet, but it does feel like teams are finding more success now with quarterbacks that we wouldn't consider great than they have in a long time in this league. We'll see if it translates, right? We'll see if they win a Super Bowl. And everybody can have their thoughts on Jalen Hurts, who's been to two of them lately. But so, you know, Brock Purdy's been to one. Jimmy Garoppolo's been to one. Like, these aren't quarterbacks we're thinking of in the same way that we've thought about quarterbacks for a long time.
I think that we've had this argument before, and I always bring up the fact of, to play devil's advocate here towards this argument, which is, you know, picking pins and needles here. Quarterbacks can become Hall of Famers by winning the Super Bowl, not the other way around. I don't think like I always like if Eli Manning never won a Super Bowl, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
No, absolutely not. No.
It's because he won Super Bowls. Like, yep. Jalen Hurts never won a Super Bowl. There's no chance he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But he won a Super Bowl now, and now it's like, well, maybe he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
I'm going to take you through the list. And I've done this before. It's wild. I'm going to take you back through the list for roughly 30 years and explain what I'm talking about here. And we could see a shift in this now. That's what I mean. Like, it's getting a little strange. But on the other side, I'll take you through this list.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to be surprised.
It's Mahomes and, you know, Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Further back. Like, there is a trend line for the NFL that is almost unmistakable. And it's why forever it's like if you don't have your future Hall of Fame quarterback, you might as well just keep trying at that. But that's what I mean. I think that may be changing in the last couple of years, and I don't know what in the league has changed to allow for it. It will be much better for the league if this happens. Or do you see the old guard play through? Two things I want to cover here. Hey, let me just ask you this off the top before we dig into the history of Super Bowls and their quarterbacks. I will give you, and we've left off one Hall of Famer. Matt Stafford is going to be a Hall of Famer. So there are probably four that we can say for sure are going to be in the Hall of Fame at this point. Stafford.
Was Matt Stafford a Hall of Famer before he won a Super Bowl?
He was going to be close. That put him over the edge. And this year's helping put him further over the edge. I firmly believe Matt Stafford's going to be a Hall of Famer. So let's say he's not. And we'll just call it three. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson will be. Mahomes will be. I'll give you those three versus the field. Who are you taking?
I'd probably take the field.
I'm still taking those three this year. I'm still taking Buffalo, Baltimore, and Kansas City. You throw Matt Stafford in there, who I think probably is a Hall of Famer too. I'm definitely taking the field.
I mean, yeah, the Rams are good. I think that, like, my short list of teams that I firmly believe that I wouldn't be, I'll say my short list of teams that I wouldn't be shocked if they won the Super Bowl is Seattle, Los Angeles, Colts, Patriots.
Oh, come on.
I know. I don't really believe that, but I feel like I have to. And the Eagles?
I'll tell you why you don't have to. The Eagles are the outlier here, and maybe the Colts. As far as we know, their quarterbacks are Hall of Famers. No offense, Max, because I think the Patriots are on the right path. I don't think this is going to be their year, but I think they're headed on a trajectory where you're like, okay, right. Before we didn't know Patrick Mahomes would be a Hall of Famer when he won his first Super Bowl. We know it now, right? So you look at, you go, let's go back to 1995. Sorry, 1992. Okay, the first Troy Aikman Super Bowl. Take you back to 1992. I'm gonna give you the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks since 1992, almost 25 years now. Sorry, 35 years now. Matt's a little groggy with my brain this morning. Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Brett Favre, John Elway, Kurt Warner. Trent Dilfer is one outlier. So we've got one. Tom Brady, Brad Johnson is two outliers. Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco is three outliers. Russell Wilson's really interesting because if you go back to early Russell Wilson, there's going to be a case when the time comes made that people think he should be a Hall of Famer. I actually think the end of his career might keep him out. So if we want to call Russell Wilson an outlier who has, you know, his multiple Super Bowls, well, we can do that. That's four, right? And then Nick Foles is certainly an outlier. That's five. Mahomes, Stafford, Jalen Hurts, we'll see. It's too early to say on Hurts. That's five in 35 years, basically, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that aren't a Hall of Famer. It's not all that different if you go back and look at the losing quarterbacks, too. Like, it just doesn't happen very often. And so when we have discussions like, well, why are the Chiefs still and what? Like that for me, and I'm like, I would take the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills versus the field still right now. And I'll bet you if there was a way to make those odds and you put those three together or everybody else, those three have shorter odds than the field together.
I don't believe that at all.
What part of that don't you believe? Go like,
why would that be shorter odds than the rest of the field when those three are two teams that are earned in the playoffs and the sixth seed?
Because right now the Chiefs are still the fifth or sixth odds on favorite. The Bills are the third odds on favorite. And the Ravens are like the seventh odds on favorite. Like they're all still in the top three, six. They're all still in the top eight. So you're taking three of the top eight odds on favorite. Three of them. Now, I guess you get the other five versus the field. So maybe I'm wrong about that. I could very easily be wrong about that. I don't know. That bet doesn't exist. But are you going to bet against the Hall of Fame quarterbacks is what it comes down to. Are you really going to put it in the hands of Daniel Jones?
I know. I think that on the short list of, I mean, like think that like the Chiefs, whenever they went on the road for all those games, like I think that they might've been favored in all of them, like, which maybe not that Bills game, but
on their Super Bowl run.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't
remember. If they weren't favored, I mean, they were right there. It was a pick.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I understand why, like, and I think that if the Colts win the Super Bowl, the Colts might be underdogs in you know, three of the four that they, or two of the three that they'd win. I don't know if they'd get home field. Three of the four that they'd win. Like, that's the part of it. But I mean, I don't know.
We're gonna learn about the Colts. The Colts are interesting, and I think the Colts are different than, let's say, the Broncos or they're really in the AFC. There's a lot of, or the Patriots. Those are the three at the top, right? The most of the Super Bowl odd favorites right now are in the NFC. Eagles, Rams, Lions are all up there. So I think the Colts were going to have a chance to elevate to maybe even as high as the favorite if their pass defense comes out with Sauce Gardner and plays better and they stay healthy. They're like what's new and interesting about the Colts is Jonathan Taylor's healthy and he wasn't last year and he is an MVP candidate when he's out there. This isn't new with Jonathan Taylor. He's been this before. So now, okay, you have a competent quarterback who looks more like the quarterback that took his team to the playoffs as a young guy than he has the last couple. But man, he is surrounded with a really good offensive line. They added Tyler Warren, who looks fantastic, the rookie tight end. They already had three or four receivers you kind of liked. It's really about, can they shore up this glaring hole for them, which was their pass defense, with the addition of Sauce Gardner? I don't know. But if they do, like if they come out and they play well down this, you're going to see their odds rise. I don't think the Patriots or the Broncos odds are getting a whole lot better than they are now. I think the Colts could elevate up to one of, if not the odds on favorite, depending on how they, because they already have, let me make sure I'm still right about this. They've had the best point differential, which is a really good indicator in the NFL for most of this season. And they still do. And not only do they do by a pretty good margin, right? The Rams and Seattle have both been there, but Indianapolis has had the best point differential for a while. So it's like they're consistently doing it. They're winning by big margins. They're doing all the things that typically tell you this is a really good team. It's the Daniel Jones thing. It's really, can you get on board with backing Daniel Jones? Danny Dimes, the guy that got kicked out of New York, right? Can you really get on board with that? And I think that's why they're already not maybe the favorite at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a lot of it. I think that's why I said that it's good on the Colts for doing this, because nobody else in the league thought it like they did. I mean, I'm sure some did, but I mean, like I really want to talk to somebody that covers the Colts, because I want to know what the feeling was in August about Daniel Jones, because I know that all the fans are like, you got to be bleeping me. Daniel Jones is going to be our starting quarterback. Like, this team is Chance Lebo, our friend that works.
I think people were probably on board with it. It was more of, I mean, he wasn't expected to come in and be the starter. Everybody thought Anthony Richardson probably was going to get healthy and be that guy.
I'm saying whatever he was named the starter over healthy Anthony Richardson. There was a quarterback battle
because he earned it. And Richardson certainly did not.
I think it's because, like, Colts fans, and talking to, like I was saying, Chance Lebo, our friend at the other radio station, is a Colts fan. And, like, you have to sit back and watch the guy you drafted as top five pick, I think he was. He's, like, number three. Get to sit back and watch him lose a quarterback battle to Daniel Jones. And you have to just think, like, God, we're going to suck. Like, we cannot be good this year.
Probably the same the Vikings felt about Sam Darnold last year. It's probably the same thing the Bucks felt about Baker Mayfield, Bucks fans, a couple of years ago. Fans are just going to have to readjust, because this is now a developing trend in a league full of trends. Historically, trends always play through in the NFL. The trend right now is quarterbacks that people believed in not being given the proper amount of time, or being in a really bad situation to not succeed. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, that's why we liked them as a prospect. And look, not every quarterback's going to get there. Anthony Richardson was more of a project, right? There was a ton of confidence that Baker Mayfield would be good, and we saw it for a minute. There was a ton of confidence that Daniel Jones would be good, and we saw it for a minute, and then it went away. Sam Darnold, we saw it for less time, but you still saw glimpses. There would be occasions where Darnold looked awesome, and then it was just never consistent. So, you know, I don't think it should surprise us that these guys, where you can see glimpses of it. Some quarterbacks, you don't ever see a glimpse of it. Like, this is why I think Kyler Murray is going to be the next guy. We've seen glimpses with Kyler Murray. But, like, you know, it's way too early. But Cam Ward, we haven't seen any glimpses of anything with Cam Ward. Nope. Bryce Young's going to have a chance if Carolina gives up on him every once in a while. And at the end of last year, Bryce Young, you're like, oh, man, he looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. He looks pretty dang good. But, you know, sometimes they don't, like Josh Rosen, he never really started. It was a project. Anthony Richardson was a project. If he was good enough, he's probably not going to stay healthy because he draws too much contact. He takes too many hits. Yeah. So I don't think it should surprise us that much. I think what surprises us is just how good their roster is everywhere else. And it's as good a top to bottom roster as there is in football. Like, they're good everywhere. If they just solve their pass defense, they're good at everything. Oh. It's a complete team.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, but.
And like, I still think I'm going to pick the Chiefs this weekend. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that is crazy. That's actually crazy.
I want to see what PJ Glasser thinks on it. It's stuck at 3.5 points. It'll probably live and stay at 3.5 points. I really wish it was 3 or 2.5. I just, back against the wall, Chiefs at home. How do you, and I know, like, people will roll their eyes at that. But like, how do you just quickly dismiss 10 years of what we've seen historically? It's a hard thing for me to do.
I agree.
The Chiefs have been a bad cover team for a long time.
Let me say this, is that the fact is, if this line was Colts -3, like every ounce of my being would be on the Chiefs, because that's just the way that we work. So, Chiefs are an underdog at home, but if the Chiefs are favored by 3, you're like, oh, what are we doing? Like, there's no way they're going to win this game. And I'm sure that they're pumping, like every college coach in the country does, is going to pump in the adversity and the aggression. They don't believe in us.
In their last 4 home games, the Chiefs beat the Ravens, and remember, Lamar Jackson started that game 37-20. They beat the Lions 30-17. They beat the Raiders 31-0, and the Commanders 28-7 in a game they had in hand by halftime. That's what they've done their last games at home. Now, they haven't been at home in a month by the time they play on Sunday. That's what it is for me. The Chiefs are at Arrowhead, and they have been world beaters lately at Arrowhead. We'll talk to PJ Glasser later in this hour about it. A lot more coming up in this hour. Tim Fitzgerald will also join in to talk a little K-State. We'll take a look around at some of the other headlines in the sports world when we return. It's all broadcast Cleveland to Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleveland here on a Thursday. Coming up in this hour of the program, we've got PJ Glasser, our betting insider. Curious to get his take on the Chiefs this weekend. Chiefs-Colts, big game. We will have that. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, in as well. It's all coming up for you. What's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Beers with the boys, girls' night out, or a glass of wine with a longtime friend. WBC, the place where groups gather for the holidays. East, West, and Historic Delano, Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. We've got you lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us a voice message. If you're watching us on YouTube or X, no Facebook this morning, as the internet is still trying to recover from whatever it was that was happening in the last couple of days, you can get in touch with us that way. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. You can reach out to us directly on social media, and you can call us the good old-fashioned way at 869-1240. Max Powers got the KFH hotline for you. We are making our way now around the rest of some of the headlines yesterday. A couple interesting quarterback stories, TJ. Michael Penix out for the season. It's Kirk Cousins' time.
Kirk Cousins.
Didn't it feel like, and I don't like seeing quarterbacks get hurt. It felt inevitable to me that Cousins was going to be the starting quarterback of this team.
And so it feels like, and everybody kind of knew, like Michael Penix tore his ACL twice in college. Like there's a reason he was so old coming out, is because he got hurt twice.
And I hate
with season-ending injuries.
That he's
I hate it too. Again. And here it is again, and it sucks. And I think that, like, the Colts – or not the Colts, the Falcons probably had a little bit of the back of their mind about, like, teams were calling, like, whenever Joe Burrow went down, hey, Kirk Cousins is a backup. Let's go trade for Kirk Cousins. I think there's probably a reason that they just didn't let Kirk Cousins walk. And I think that I don't think that they, expected him to get hurt, but it's like there might be a reality where that happens. And so we should probably have a plan.
Important when you're a good team.
I mean, keeping a good backup quarterback. Yeah, that too. I don't think anybody else wanted that contract. Is the other part of that too?
Well, he has been in the tank. He did not look great when he came into the game for Penix. We'll see if he's got anything left in the tank. It's a good story.
I want him to be good.
I do too. It's so funny. Good. He and Marcus Mariota, after the quarterback series, are both starting quarterbacks right now in the NFL.
True. Another headline from last night. I don't know if you saw this. Speaking of the Jayhawk basketball we've been talking about so much, Diggy Coit transfer went to Maryland last night. What?
Oh, I thought you meant he was transferring again.
No. He left, went to Maryland last night, scored 41 points, and went 8 of 10 from 3.
I believe it. I like Diggy Coit. He showed flashes. It just wasn't the right fit, but I like the player. I don't know what everybody's saying. Well, it'd be sure nice to have 41 points in Lawrence.
You don't have anybody that can make 3. Diggy Coit made 8.
I know. He was never going to be good enough defensively for Bill Self, I don't think. You could see the discomfort with that while he was there. Jayhawk basketball is going to be an interesting story this year. Like, I just, everybody you talk to has kind of a different take on it.
I'm so curious to see what Allen Fieldhouse is going to look like for actual games. Because, like, even for the non, like Corpus Christi, it wasn't packed. And, like,
oh, it'll take one big performance from Darren Peterson and him to get a clean bill of health. Yeah. And people are going to be fired up.
I agree. But, like, it's so, like, it's just so weird. And I keep saying,
I was there last year. Oh, who did we see them play? I finally got the family up there because, you know, you take for granted our opportunities that we get in this job to go, you know, be a part of a lot of this stuff. So last year, oh gosh, which game was it? It was one of the cupcakes. We went up, we just got GA tickets. Maybe it was Oakland or no, it was Furman. It was Furman.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is what it was.
The Terrapins.
It was not a good environment. I was like, man, I've been hyping this up forever. And I was like, it was kind of stale. It wasn't totally packed. And it granted, KU is one of the strange, it's kind of close, and everyone seemed a little shocked and stunned by that. And then they ended up winning by like 30. And it just, you never really had a chance to, but
it's weird. I'm telling you, like, and I don't want to pile on KU because I love KU, but like, it's such a weird time right now in Jayhawk basketball.
It is a weird time. I agree.
It's just, the point I brought up last night to at work to our friend Brock Wilson is that they are going through a little bit of the Alabama football thing where it's like, or like the expectations are always going to be like what Alabama football is. Like, KU should always have a foot in the Big 12 championship race. They should always be a second weekend team. And if you're neither of those, it's a disappointment year. And like,
I agree with that.
And if that's not what happens this year, it's a disappointment year.
Absolutely. They should always be. Yes. I totally agree.
I feel like the fans are starting to, and I don't know what the reason is, but like the camping, the students aren't camping out as much.
It's because the roster of the last 2 years didn't excite anybody.
And I agree. And like,
it's going to take a second to get away from what had been for basically 3 years was not exciting. And so people weren't excited about it. And now you got to kind of rev back into it. But everyone, they're like, what about Bill Self? Bill Self's not that old. He still loves what he's doing. And he just got the number one player and might get the number one player next year. Like, it's not, you just have to give it a minute.
Watching Bill Self basketball, the Duke game was the first time I've really gotten to sit down and watch a game because I've been busy during the other games. And so I watched the second half of that game. And I mean, like, I forget sometimes and like take for granted, like watching Bill Self offenses, because it's like nothing is a wasted movement ever. And it's still like he could coach the Washburn Ichabods and compete in Division I, like, win some conference championships in some of the smaller conferences, just because like the things that they do on offense, like whenever they, like, Hunter Dickinson wasn't an exciting player and fans have mixed opinions on him, but man, they used him efficiently. Like,
yes,
he was always in the right spot to catch the ball and make a layup. And like that, and that's what they did so well. And so I think that like just watching that, I think that there will be stuff whenever Darren Peterson gets out there, that's going to just blow our minds, and they're going to beat Houston, number one team in the country. They'll go on the road and beat Houston or something like that. And it'll be like, oh yeah, well, Bill Self still got it.
Yeah. Look, I don't know, like, cause this is the part of the conversation that I don't have a good grasp on. People are, you know, asking us like, well, how many games? I don't know what they're going to do in the regular season. I really don't, like, that's what I mean. Like, it's going to be interesting. I don't have a good feel for it. But I'm not, that to me this year, that's not, and it never was going to be the concern. I've never thought this was going to be like a team that won the Big 12 in the regular season. It's kind of all about how good can Peterson be and how good can they be around Peterson. Here's the challenge with that. If it doesn't work out, they've kind of built a roster for that. So it sort of forces you to start that over again next year. And you don't want to get in this like Kentucky cycle. Right, where at least I wouldn't if I were a KU fan, where you're always reliant on freshmen. I don't think that's going to be uncomfortable, because it's hit or miss, man. It's like, you, who knows? They're freshmen.
Nope.
But they're like, what is the path to, and the team that came back, like they just kept returning so much and that didn't work either. And that's what, because normally that's your path, right? That is the path for KU. What they did the last 2 years, it just didn't work. But in normal circumstance, they were preseason number one for a reason, right? It is what it is. So I that's where I just like, I sit here and I'm like, guys, I don't know what to tell you about KU basketball right now. I don't. I know that Peterson, by all accounts, is the real deal. And so it's always going to be just ride that as far as it'll take you. And
they're going to be Rosario
sticks around for 2 or 3 years.
They're going to be a team that's going to be able to go on the road and beat Houston, and then on the backswing of the road stretch, go lose at TCU. And like, that's just what, that's what KU is going to be this year, I think. And I think that that's going to get them at 6th or 7th place in the Big 12. And I think
and if that's the case and they make it and Peterson's healthy, like that's fine. Like, you'll live with that because they're a team that is going to be dangerous if they're healthy in the tournament. It'd be the hope.
It feels like sour to think about that, though. Like,
well,
the fact
it does.
That KU,
it is an entitled, in an awesome way, fan base. The same way all juggernauts in college become entitled. You only know one thing,
and of course that's
the expectation.
It's not the NFL or the NBA to be like, we don't have it this year. Like, we just need to develop these guys. Cause like, it's 2025. These guys are going to leave. Like, you got to get a new team every year. Like, rebuild years aren't a thing anymore. And that's why coaches get fired more than any time ever in history, is because there's no grace anymore. Because if your team isn't good, go get a new team. And I think that's the sour taste about, like, and I think that, like, that's medicine that people have to swallow. And I think that's what the truth is that it's going to be. But like, It sucks. Like, I don't think that anybody, if KU finishes not higher than 7th, if they finish 8th or lower,
they're not going to finish 8th.
If they finish 7th or lower,
problem. Yeah, that's a problem. That's not okay. Like, that's not acceptable. But if it's 5th, fine. Right? No, 7th or lower, that's not going to be okay.
If they have a foot in the race, then it'll be okay. Like, if the final 2 week stretch, if it's something that was like, if we win out, we have a chance, then it'll be okay.
I think, honestly, if they're playing well in Big 12 play, everybody will settle a little bit. Got to get Peterson back first, though. All right, when we come back, we got BJ Glasser coming in. We have college football games. I know they're like sneaking under the radar right now, but we do have some college football games. We'll talk that. We'll talk NFL with Glasser coming right up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, if you're looking for the best props and games to lay your money down on from BetMGM, here's KFH's betting insider, PJ Glesser.
It is the host of Send It In and Inside the Betting Lines on BetMGM Network. You can follow him on X at PJGlasser9. PJ, welcome back. Week off, up a little recharge, and we're ready to make a little money this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, good to see you guys. How you doing?
Good. We'll start with college. We'll jump right in. I think this is an interesting one. We've got, of course, the two teams we follow here, both looking for sixth wins this weekend, both looking to make a bowl. Kansas State goes to Utah, goes to Salt Lake as a 17.5 point dog. They were 17.5 point favorites last week, and we didn't talk to you. Both TJ and I didn't like that, because to me it feels like a team that is kind of incapable of winning big, but now this week they also kind of feel like they're incapable of losing big. 17.5 points is a ton to lay if you're betting Utah this weekend.
It is, but, you know, guys, Utah's been on an absolute roll as of late. They had some struggles early on in Big 12 play. They dropped the Holy War to BYU. They lost badly to Texas Tech, who's just smoking everybody, especially when Morton's playing quarterback this season. I mean, you guys know Kansas State has been a funny team this year. They've been up and down. They got off to that tough start in the middle of the schedule. They played a lot better. Now it's kind of, you know, they've been up and down just depending on who they've played. So you normally don't see them as this big of a dog, but the metrics love Utah, and their defense has been playing a lot better. Their offense has been playing a lot better. I haven't bet the game, but to be honest, if I did, I'd probably lay it with Utah, because again, this time of year too, with a team like that, really their only path to get to the college football playoff is to probably end up winning the Big 12. They got to hope that Utah trips up this weekend against Cincinnati, and they got to find a way to upset Texas Tech if they end up making it. But they're looking for style points. They're looking for kind of the eye test and continue to beat up people. So I, you know, if I had to bet it, I'd actually look towards Utah 17.5.
Yeah, K-State hasn't impressed us in a while. The other Kansas team, the Jayhawks, are going on the road to Iowa State, which is a really interesting spot because Iowa State has fallen from grace a lot like K-State has this year. KU has beaten Iowa State, I think, three consecutive years somehow, even though they've been underdogs, and just about every single one of those as well. So I have no idea what to make of this game. All kinds of weird factors are in play.
I mean, this game, like you said, I have no idea what to do with it either, right? These two teams. Yeah, look, Iowa State got off to that good start, but ever since their two corners got hurt and they've been dealing with injuries, they just have not been able to figure it out, and they've lost a bunch of games. Kansas feels like we've kind of been waiting for them to get up off the mat, and it just hasn't quite happened yet. And these are the kind of games that that they've been losing, you know, and really haven't been covering. So I think Iowa State money line is probably the play if you want to parlay it with something else on the board, minus 185. It is a Kansas spot. Like, this is a light pole spot, but they just haven't been covering these kinds of games this season, and I think have been costing a bunch of people a bunch of money. So I'd stay away from the spread. I don't want to lay four, and I don't want to take four with Kansas, but I think Iowa State wins the game, so I'd probably just take them on the money line.
This isn't the best weekend of college football. This is the weekend we get a lot of cupcakes for teams like your Alabama Crimson Tide. Missouri Oklahoma is interesting, though. Speaking of Alabama, Oklahoma with their big win, do you worry about big wins like that and how you follow them up?
Definitely, especially with a team like Oklahoma, you guys, where I think all their success is based off of turnovers. You know, like, they're a good team with a great defense, but they won the turnover battle 3-0 against Bama. They only won by two. They won the turnover battle against Tennessee, forcing three turnovers in that game. They only won by six, and they had a defensive score in both of those games. So I still don't like the offense very much. It's still only scoring in like the 20s. And when their defense isn't forcing turnovers, they can get beat by anybody, you know? So earlier in the year, they had some nice wins over Auburn and Michigan, but they didn't really force turnovers in those games, and they let those teams hang around. They didn't force any against Ole Miss and Texas, and they end up losing those games. So Missouri does have a third-string quarterback, but they got a good defense and a good running game. I think Drinkwitz and Missouri are going to be conservative, and they're just going to do everything they can to let their defense keep them in this game. So I would look at Missouri. You know, when you got a team like Oklahoma coming off two big wins that relies so much on turnovers, and they're a big favorite like this, I would look towards the dog. So, yeah, I like Missouri plus the points.
Yeah, PJ, before we switch over to the NFL, what other college ones do you like? Perhaps Georgia minus 43.5 against Charlotte this week? Is that catching your eye?
You know, maybe you've seen my clip floating around, TJ, on social media. Fellas, Kirby Smart, 0-15 against the spread as a favorite of 38 points or more. 0-15, wow. Right? So this has actually come down from 45.5 to 43.5. It's a great spot, too, right? Off that big win against Texas. Georgia knows they're in the playoff, and then they got Georgia Tech upcoming next week. So you got two big games kind of sandwiched in between the Charlotte game, and it's always the kind of game, the kind of team. Kirby doesn't want to run up the score. He just wants to get out of there healthy. You know, they run the ball. They play good defense. They'll win like 42-7 or something like that. So, yeah, I do. I actually do like Charlotte plus in that game. I think it's a good bet. If you want another big dog I like too, I'm actually taking Coastal Carolina plus 24.5 against South Carolina. I mean, I want to fade the Gamecocks, right? They had A&M, fellas, 28-3 at halftime, 30-3 at halftime. They get shut out in the second half. Beamer's pumping up the crowd. Then they go in and lose the game. They played five straight games against ranked teams, against some of the best teams in the country, Oklahoma, Bama, Ole Miss, A&M. They didn't win any of those games. The gauntlet's over, and now they come back home as this big a favorite with Clemson upcoming next week. Like, is there any motivation to get up this week? So Charlotte's a big dog I like, and Coastal Carolina, another big dog I like as well.
I love it. I love that taking those points. Those are the fun games that make you feel good about yourself when you're watching them because you took the points. All right. NFL. Let's start with the Chiefs, and then we can work our way backwards to tonight and some other things. We're fascinated by this line. Chiefs favored by 3.5. They have been so good at home lately and not good on the road. They have been disappointing very many times this year. But are we comfortable betting against them at Arrowhead? I think I'm leaning Chiefs, but we're very curious for your take on this.
I'm definitely betting the Chiefs this week. There are some threes out there. So at BetMGM, it's 3.5. You like Kansas City, obviously shop around, get the three because, I mean, let's be honest, that could be important. They could end up just winning the game by three. I think the money line is a great bet this week as well if you want to parlay Kansas City minus 175 with something else on the board. You guys knew when they lost to Denver, the conversation would begin. right? Like, are the Chiefs going to miss the playoffs? Is the dynasty over? All these kinds of things. And it definitely is concerning because that is the kind of game that Kansas City usually wins. I mean, they're off a bye. They're fresh. They were pretty much healthy going into that game. It was a massive game for the division. Mahomes is always great in divisional road game. All these things they had going for them. And for them to lose, I think, was a little bit surprising and eye-opening for people because Kansas City just never loses those kind of games. They're 0-5 in one-score games. We know how great they tend to be in close matchups. So all these things are concerning. I'm not ready to just throw out Kansas City yet. And not only that, but the Colts are kind of a team I'm looking to fade, guys. Like, they've had a very easy schedule. They're beating up on some of the bad teams in the league. And you look at some of the last couple games they played before going into their bye week. It was a 6-turnover game against Pittsburgh, and then it was an overtime win against Atlanta. So I get maybe people wanting to fade the Chiefs, but Indianapolis isn't necessarily the team I want to do it with. It feels like a game where Daniel Jones is going to struggle on the road against Spags in that defense. So I like KC, get the 3, shop around. But if you just want to take them on money line, I like that play too.
TJ, I'd stay with the Chiefs. We got to ask you about this too. We've talked about this a lot this week, is that, you know, the Chiefs were the Super Bowl odds-on favorites heading into the Denver game. They lost. And then on Monday specifically is what I'm going to talk about, is that they were the third best odds to win the Super Bowl, but I think were like plus 150 to miss the playoffs. Like, basically a pick 'em to miss the playoffs or make the playoffs. Like, is that because you can't quit the Chiefs, or is that because all the books don't want to give a discount on the Chiefs?
It's a little bit of both. You know, they obviously, they've been burned a little bit in the past by kind of being too high on the Ravens, too high on the Bills, and then the Chiefs go on a run and they end up, you know, getting bad numbers and people end up burning them. So it's definitely a little bit of that. But I mean, guys, it's also just like, who in the AFC really scares you? You know, the Bills have been so up and down. I get the Ravens are playing better and they're healthier, but they still just got to get into the postseason. And New England, like, are they still a year away? Do we still fully trust Denver? Like, do we like this Indianapolis team? So that's why I'm fully not getting rid of the Chiefs. And I think that's why the books aren't really either. It's because all we've kind of ever known in the last 6-7 years is Kansas City representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. And even though if the playoffs started today, they wouldn't be in it. It's like, I mean, who's the clear-cut team in the AFC that you would look at and like Kansas City in that matchup? So they're probably not going to win the division. If they do make the playoffs, they probably have to go on the road. We have seen them do it before, but it's going to be tough. But yeah, I think it's because there's no clear-cut team in the AFC to kind of dethrone them. That's why the books really won't give you a great price on Kansas City to win the AFC or the Super Bowl.
Kind of another thing we've been talking about, and then we get to some real bets. This bet doesn't exist, I don't think. But if I were to give you, we counted it as 3 for sure Hall of Fame quarterbacks right now: Lamar, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you feel that way about Stafford. I think he probably gets there. But would you take the Hall of Fame quarterbacks against the field to win the Super Bowl this year?
It's a good question. I think I probably would. I think I would, because I still think Buffalo, Baltimore, or Kansas City comes out of the AFC. That the NFC is going to be fun. I think I do like the Rams the best. The Eagles, especially if they get home field, are going to be tough. But yeah, I think I would take the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, to be honest with you guys.
Okay,
it's crazy. It's such a weird time right now for Kansas City Chiefs fans. PJ, looking at some of these other games, there's some really fun ones that we've got on the docket. Bucks Rams, I believe that's a Sunday night game, is the one that caught our eyes. Is going to be massive in the NFC. What do you think of that one?
You know, the Bucks, that was a team that we had talked about earlier the year, you guys. I think they were 5-1 at one point, and they had beat San Francisco. And that game was the first time the Bucks had had a kneel down to end the game. And they were 5-1. They had won 4 previous games, but that was the first one they had to kneel down. So you knew the regression was coming. You knew Tampa Bay could not keep it up. And their schedule's starting to get tough. I mean, they played New England at home last week, at Buffalo this week, at the Rams. Problem with the Bucks, it feels like they're an all or nothing kind of team. You know, it feels like they either play great or they don't play great. And with the Rams coming off that big win against Seattle, I'd love a 7 in this game. I don't think we get there, but I'd probably lean towards Tampa Bay. I don't think it's a game I'm going to end up betting, but just because of the high variance of Tampa, Baker tends to play pretty well in these type of big matchups. I would lean towards the Bucks if I had to bet it.
So here's a curious one. Patriots Bengals. I'm seeing morning as Bengals plus 7. We had to do a pick segment for TV yesterday, TJ. We had this at 8.5, I think. Joe Burrow practiced in full yesterday. Is this a Burrow line? Because there aren't a lot of players that are going to move a line in one day, 1.5. Is Burrow going to play? Like, can we look at a line like that as an indicator?
Potentially. I mean, like you said, for it to move that much, like, something would have to happen. I know Chase is appealing his suspension, so maybe there's a thought that he could be back. Yeah, that's interesting. I think because of that, because the line moved, because Burrow practiced, I'm in no rush to bet it. I kind of want to wait and see. And to be honest with you guys, if Burrow does play and the line keeps going down, then I'd be interested in betting New England the other way to win, yeah. You know, because let's be honest, Flacco, for the most part, has been playing really well. He's obviously not Joe Burrow, but I mean, Burrow still can't play defense, and I don't know how they're going to get any stops on that Patriots offense who's been on a roll. So I'm in no rush to bet it. I think right now, if anything, maybe look at the Patriots in a teaser, just tease them down to -1. That would be the play. If Burrow does play and we get like a 6.5 with New England, then I think the bet would be on the Patriots in that game.
PJ, I ask you about a real sicko one here. The world beaters, Cleveland Browns, and Las Vegas Raiders are matching up this week. In our fantasy segment for TV, I pick Shedeur Sanders as my starting quarterback this week. Do you like him as much as I do?
Guys, this line just makes no sense to me. And sometimes when a line makes no sense, I walk right into it and I bet the dog. And other times it just makes absolutely no sense that I just bet the favorite. And this is one of those lines where I don't understand in what world the Raiders are a 4-point favorite, but it's almost too crazy where I think I got to lay the points with them. If you're looking at the four units in this game, Raiders offense, Browns defense, Raiders defense, it's not even close. Browns defense, the best unit on the field, right? And yeah, Shador's playing, but Geno Smith has been awful for the Raiders. And this should be a defense that should absolutely cut them up. So it's one of those where Browns plus 4 just kind of feels too easy for me, where like I got to trust the sports books. They know something to put the Raiders at this type of number. I don't know if I'll bet it, fellas, but it would have to be Raiders -4. If you flip the line and you put this game in Cleveland, they're essentially telling you like this game would be a pick'em. And I think if the Raiders were a pick'em in Cleveland, the Browns might be your best bet of the week. So it's a fishy line. It's a stinky game. But for me, I think the Raiders would probably be the side.
That might Before be we let appointment you go, TV.
Yeah. DJ, we've got one tonight. It's kind of an interesting one. Great defense, great offense, right? Texans 5.5-point home dogs. What do you think about this game? It's the short week. Is this a tends to favor the defense? Can the Texans keep this ugly? I don't even know if we know who the quarterback's going to be yet.
I don't think we do. The line going towards the Bills' direction, I think, is telling us that it's Davis Mills. But guys, I think it's just gotten too high. I like Houston plus 6 for a couple of different reasons. I mean, think about the fact the Bills were a 3.5-point favorite against Atlanta about 5-6 weeks ago. And with how up and down they have been, like, should they now be laying 6 on the road? Think about all the upsets we've seen so far on Thursday night this year. Giants over the Eagles, Bengals over the Steelers, Niners over the Rams. I mean, we've seen a bunch of upsets. We've seen these dogs play tough. It's such a big advantage playing at home on these Thursday night games, on these short week games. And the Texans got one of the best defenses in the NFL, as we know. Josh Allen has not played well in Houston. So I think Buffalo wins. I just think 6 is too many points. So I actually do like Houston tonight, plus points. I think 6 is too many.
And even if it is Davis Mills, Buffalo's been the worst run defense in football this year. Mm. So are the Texans even going to throw it anyway?
Yeah, lean on Woody Marks, you know, yeah. give him Woody the Marks, ball. I like that. Yeah,
I'm trying to decide whether to play him in fantasy. He might be a prop bet tonight. Woody Marks for sure. PJ, we appreciate it. You can follow along PJ's work. Follow him on X at PJ Glasser 9. Good to have you back this week. Let's all make some money.
Good to see you guys. I'll see if I don't see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Enjoy the holiday.
Right. That's right. I guess we won't see you next week. We're not going to have a show. So we'll see you in a couple weeks. There goes Sounds PJ good. Glasser.
I'll call you personally, PJ. I need my best.
We do have 3 games on Thanksgiving. We might need a little, we might need some advice there.
Please do. All right. Yeah. Good talking to you guys.
There goes PJ Glasser. Yeah, to show programming. No, we won't be with you next Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. Tonight I'm trying to make some plays here, PJ.
Are we going with the tight end again?
No.
You broke the trend on Monday, didn't you? Pick a wide receiver,
Woody Marks, man. Oh, you're talking about the first touchdown? Sorry. First touchdown's probably going to be Kincaid tonight for me. Josh Allen's a good one, but he doesn't get quite juicy enough for me. I should have asked PJ this. Let me pull that up. Let's give everybody a first touchdown here. Have not looked at this yet, but we'll pull it up.
Is Dalton Schultz Texans without him?
He is, but then you're betting on Houston to score first, and I don't think I'm totally comfortable with that. Let's go.
Dawson Knox.
Is Kincaid out? Oh, Dawson Knox at 18-1 is a pretty strong play. Let's go Dawson Knox at 18-1. I like it. If Kincaid doesn't play, he must not be playing. I like it.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
That insider is Tim Fitzgerald. Before we get you there, I want to tell you can score a pair of tickets to see Journey at Intrust Bank Arena April 4th. Text the keyword Journey to the number 20357. You can enter once a day today and tomorrow, and then it'll end. Standard message and data rates apply. We do bring in GoPowerPackCat.com's Tim Fitzgerald. Fitz, you a Journey guy?
I was. Yeah, I like Journey. Yep. I hate to see him go, but they were older than me. I don't know how these guys get up on a stage when they're 70. I just
watched Joe Walsh at the Vets Aid concert last weekend at, I think, close to 80. And he looks like he's 80. But you put that guitar in his hands, and watching him play the guitar is what amazed me. Like everything else, like the fact that you can still kind of sing your song, but man, to play the guitar that way, it's like it's you don't even have to think about it. It just comes natural. He'll do that until the end. I think it was pretty wild to watch him play.
I mean, wouldn't after playing a guitar for that long, wouldn't you have arthritis? It's amazing.
You can see it in his hands. His knuckles were grapefruits. And it still just ripped it up.
Yep,
do you think are any of us going to be able to do anything that well when we're close to 80 years old?
What? No, I'm not doing very well close to 60. I am over 60 now, but. Yeah, I don't get it. Becky and I saw Tommy Shaw on sticks in Vegas, and he was incredible. And he's in his 70s, too. It's amazing.
Fitz, I feel like we all feel like old men after watching K-State, Oklahoma State on Saturday. That was one of the football games of all time.
I feel like I watched a game before the forward pass was invented. it really got high scoring, and that game was 14-6. You know, it's just, oh my gosh. I'm dead serious when I say it was the most boring game I've ever covered.
I was on the field down there in Stillwater, and I felt like I was losing my mind about, like, what is wrong? Like, what is going on with either team here?
It was awful. I'm so glad you got to see that. Look, the only good thing I can say about that game was they got out of there with a win. The defense came up big when it needed to, but. Which it didn't do earlier in the year. That's kind of why it lost the Army game. They couldn't get off the field, and they were able to do that to Oklahoma State. But, boy, it's going to take a whole nother degree of upping your level of play to compete at Utah. I mean, I'm not sure the efforts they were putting out there when they were playing pretty well would get it done this weekend in Salt Lake City.
Fitz, so that leads us into the Salt Lake City. It's a huge line. When you watch them play like that, like what are they going to do? Like how do they do it? Like what is the path for them to be able to get the sixth win in a place like that as an underdog?
I'm going to be blunt. I haven't carved out how they do that because Utah's strengths play so perfectly into K-State's weaknesses. I'm not sure they can overcome it. I mean, I'm not sure the dominating play of the lines of Utah is something that K-State is going to be able to handle. And particularly the way that offensive line played last week, they're not going to be able to handle a much better front seven of Utah or front six than what they saw in Stillwater. So, if we can successfully, in our minds, throw that game out and go back to the how they were playing, because they actually played well against Texas Tech. That's just the how good Tech is by game's end. If they can play at that level, they'll be in the game in the fourth quarter, but it might be the same type of result. You're just kind of hanging around before the inevitable, but got to go give it a shot. It's a great measuring stick, and they can play spoiler here for the entire Big 12.
Yeah, they can, Fitz, but the question now becomes that Jace Brown seems like he's out for the season, it sounds like, with a shoulder injury that he sustained on Saturday to make the worse. They don't have Dylan Edwards. They don't have Austin Romaine. They don't have Jace Brown anymore. They don't have Toby Osunsami anymore. It's a depleted team, and whenever they play like they did on Saturday, you know, that raises a lot of questions about what this team will become down the stretch of this season. But who's going to catch the passes? Is Linton Cure the number one wide receiver? Is Jaron Brantley going to play?
Yeah, Bradley's supposed to play. They've got Tibbs, and he's probably the number one. And the problem is they don't have the Jace Brown to stretch the defense. If Bradley can do it, it'll work. But, you know, he hasn't been healthy for most of the year. He did it in Ireland. He's done it in another game. So he brings that to the table, but Jace is the one they feared. So it's been tough on Avery because without Dylan Edwards back there, they could focus on him, and they have. And now without Jace Brown, you take another weapon off. And, you know, I understand injuries are part of the game, but, boy, you've lost two of the most dynamic players on each side of the ball from what you had at the start of the year.
I mean, it is what it is. Are they and the other part of this game that lets you kind of not worry too much about it is we assume they'll beat Colorado, right? But until it's done, it ain't done as far as a bowl game goes.
You're exactly right. The team I saw in Stillwater may not beat Colorado at home. And Colorado's got enough athletes to give you problems. You let them hang around. So, yeah, they've got work to do. And if they go back to, you know, sleepwalking like they did in Stillwater and did – in the first 4 weeks of the season, they're probably not going to win a game. But this team's capable of it, and they've come a long ways to salvage any kind of respect out of a failed season to let it slip away now.
Yeah, Fitz, thank goodness that it only happened one time in the last week that a K-State team played down to a team from the state of Oklahoma and pushed them to the ropes. Oh, just kidding. It happened on Monday night. Tulsa came into Bramlage, and K-State won a thriller. What do you make of that? Is Tulsa – going to be okay, or is that a bad game? We don't know what to think of that game.
I thought Tulsa was okay. I think it was a game Kansas State desperately needed, and to get out of it with a win was a benefit. They need to learn that offense isn't the whole thing. Their offense wasn't as good. I mean, this is a team that shot better than 50% from three in its, you know, earlier games, and was what, 5 of 24 in this one. You can't always rely on your points, but you can rely on defense. And they had to use it at the end to win. And if they come to realize that that's the kind of effort they're going to need in the Big 12 on almost every possession, then they're going to be okay. But they use defense to bail them out. And that seems like a good idea, fellas, if you do that with the offense. So we'll see if they learned anything. This is going to be an interesting couple games in Kansas City.
Yeah, it looks like Mississippi State, at least through, you know, three games that they've played, are a lot like K-State, a team that's played well offensively but not that well defensively. It is Chris Jans, so I sort of assume they'll be good defensively. But K-State is a dog tonight on the neutral court.
I was a little surprised to see that. But I think that's good for K-State. It's good to know that, hey, everyone says this team's better than you, and see how they hold up. Again, they're going to score points most of the time. I mean, even when they had a bad shooting night, they still scored a lot more points than what we've seen the last two seasons. So they got to couple that with defense, rebound, and all those other little things. And the quicker they learn that, the better off the team will be. And if they don't fully grasp it, it's going to be a season filled with a lot of close losses.
Fitz, it's an interesting experiment, and I think that every coach around the country is going through it right now. The fact of, would you rather, you know, be pushed to the ropes against a team like Tulsa, or would you rather beat Mississippi Valley State by 54 points in November? And I say that K-State's going to play Mississippi Valley State. But this is one of the tougher non-cons that the Jerome Tang has put together. Do you think that this is good for them to play a schedule like this?
You know, I think he's looking down the road, realizing that if you don't play a competitive schedule, if you're 500 in the conference, you may not get in. There's no badge of dishonor being 500 in this conference. So you can be a pretty darn good team and end up at that level. I think he doesn't want to get left out simply because he didn't test his team. He doesn't want to fail to test his team, and then they get into conference play and collapse. I think it's just good for the program. It's a good test. I mean, and it's good for the fans. They want to see you play people instead of Mississippi Valley State seven times.
Well, here's the other thing, too. With Tang specifically and what we've seen the last few years, on November 20th, don't you feel a little bit better about seeing this team be really good offensively now with room to grow defensively? Isn't that sort of his thing? Like, isn't that where he cut his teeth as an assistant for all those years? I think we expect a Tang team to get better defensively over the course of the year. If they don't have to, you know, if the offense comes easier, that's been the problem for them.
Yeah. You know, you think about it, the last 2 years, we've been sitting around hoping they can improve offensively. That's right. Hard to do.
Yes.
Defensively, you can teach a bunch of athletes that can score the ball how to play defense. You can get that out of them, but you can't just magically teach a defensive specialist how to score. And so they've got the hardest part down, but now they need to do the easier part. And sometimes scorers think, I don't really need to be that good because I'll just outscore you, and they're going to learn a hard lesson in this conference.
Yeah, Fitz, we've gone back and forth about this conference and what these teams are. And, you know, as everybody always says, November basketball doesn't mean anything to teams like these. But as we've seen so far, we didn't know who anybody on this team was. So I think as we've learned more and more, just kind of what is your grade card about K-State basketball? Have you been pleased? Or are you a little let down? What do you think?
No, I've been pleased. And, you know, bluntly put, it's just a better product to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, even if the games are still close, or even if they lose, you know, 50% or more of their Big 12 games, this team is more fun to watch because it's not so painful. We're watching a bunch of guys throw the ball at the rim and it bounce off in funny ways. It was like watching, you know, youth basketball on the offensive end the last few years. These guys are casual scorers. They just make it look so easy. And that's a much more enjoyable brand, even if the defense is frustrating.
I completely agree with that sentiment. Fitz, what do you guys have for us at GoPowerCat.com?
A lot of coverage. Having basketball the next two nights and football on Saturday, we're spread a little thin, but we'll have everyone at every place and have plenty of coverage. Lots of pregame coverage up at GoPowerCat. The K-State pregame show releases on YouTube at 10 a.m. if you're interested in listening or watching. Our breakdown of the Utah game that involves me taking shots and crying. Well, maybe not, but metaphorically, hey. Yes.
We'll be with you in spirit. Tim Fitzgerald, okay. Publisher, GoPowerCat.com. Appreciate it. We will not talk to you next week. We'll be all stuffing our faces with turkey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll just wait for your call anyhow.
Okay. We'll call you anyway. Okay. Just for fun. All right. There goes Tim Fitzgerald. All right, that does it for us here on a Thursday. We've got high school coverage tomorrow as the playoffs continue. High school football coverage on Sports Daily brought to you by Zentex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zentex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. TJ, Paul will be here to get us ready for high school football. Catch Kansas Friday. We also make our picks. This may be a day, TJ. We may not have picks until the games to pick until tomorrow morning because a lot of these lines are moving like crazy, and we're trying to get them as close as we can.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe that I said TJ Cleveland has gone from last place to a game out of first, two games out of first, or something of that nature. So it could be a big week.
It could be.
I hope we're picking Georgia Charlotte like PJ wants.
Oh man, that was. I was going to ask him about a different one of those. I love that he had that in there. If you missed anything with our betting insider PJ Glasser or K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week. Thanks, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.